You're listening to the Good Old Boys Fantasy Football Podcast. Now here's your hosts, Kevin, Derek, and Alex.
All righty, welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Good Old Boys Fantasy Football Podcast. I am Derek, and I'm joined, as always, by your co-host, Alex. Kevin, unfortunately, not going to be able to make it with us tonight. He's got that J-O-B thing going, doing a little bit of the work, that 9-to-5. But Alex and I are going to hold down the fort for you. Alex, how you doing tonight?
It feels like the very first episode. You have to go all the way back in the archives to when episode one of the Good Old Boys Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm not even sure that that's available to listen to, is it? Oh, it is? All right. Well, you can go all the way back to episode one to the last time it was just Derek and Alex. And that was because of a scheduling snafu between Derek and Kevin. And if you guys have heard the story before, I'll do the Cliff Notes version of it. I was supposed to be the first guest. Had a lot of fun doing it, and the guys were kind enough to invite me on as a regular. So that's how the Good Old Boys Fantasy Football Podcast was born. Not of anything that I did. I just showed up and was talking, thinking that it was going to be a one-week deal. And here we are 2.5 years later, almost 3 years later now. And still going strong with the Fantasy Football Podcast. It's fun. We are in the middle of summer. It's, I think, like best ball seasons, you know, kicking off and rookie drafts and sort of the same old that we've been talking about. We're starting to get a little bit more information about some of these teams as media availability starts to open up a little bit. So we're learning about where the direction of some of these teams want to go offensively, defensively. And for as many questions as we've gotten answered, 1,000 more have popped up. So it's been one of those off seasons, which I would say, I guess, is pretty much a typical off season in the NFL. The machine just keeps on running.
Man, you're not kidding. The machine keeps running, and it is a glorious machine at that, you know, full of money making potential for everybody out there. But so we're going to do things a little bit different than we've done in the past, right? There at this point in the season, there's still some news and notes and things like that going on out there, but there's not a ton of it going on. So, you know, kind of future reference until we start cooking up closer to the season, we're going to, we'll bring up the really important things and the big shakings and that kind of stuff, but some of the smaller details coming out of camp.
Yeah, go to reputable sources for that. We're not at camps. We're just here in our houses talking about football. Go to some reputable sources about the news and notes. We're not going to break anything on this show. So, yeah, that's where if you want to find out what's going on, visit your ESPNs, your Yahoos, your NBC Sports. Visit those guys. They'll tell you all about it.
Absolutely. But you can connect with us in several different ways. We have a ton of different avenues for you to connect with. One is the YouTube channel, and good chance that you're watching on there now. Make sure that you hit that subscribe button, then hit that little bell button so that way you're getting all of the latest content, latest episodes coming to you. We do this show every Tuesday night live on the YouTube. So make sure you're hitting the subscribe button there. We've also got the Twitters, the Instagrams, Facebook, Twitch, at Good Old Boys FF.
You are so popular. Holy cow.
The alarm's going off, all of these things. Oh my goodness. We've also got the website for you, goodoldboysff.com. Anyway, great content for you in a ton of different places. But one of our favorite places anymore to do some content is the SportsMe app. If you guys haven't done that, get over there. It's on the App Store, on the Play Store. Download that. And a great way to engage with us and interact with us and doing some of the battles and the debates going on there. And one of the debates that we did earlier today involved the team of the week, the team that we're going to break down tonight, and that is the Seattle Seahawks. So going through it, That was the ask. Give your spiciest take on the Seattle Seahawks. And we had a few come back here and lots of fun ones out there. So Hooftube, one of the guys over there, picked the Seahawks to finish last in the division and miss the playoffs. Derek said that said that the Tyler Lockett is a value based on his ADP. So his ADP is way too low. One of the guys over at Clock Management, who has dubbed himself the SportsMe ambassador over there, He is saying that Russell Wilson will not finish as a top eight quarterback. We've got Peng's Pick coming in saying Gerald Everett will be a top 12 tight end. And Sauce Boss is saying that Chris Carson will not be a top 25 running back for fantasy football this year. So lots of spicy takes there, Alex. Which one stands out to you as the spiciest?
Russell Wilson not being a top eight quarterback. I know that they just got a new offensive coordinator, but he was the passing coordinator for LA. For the Rams, and made Jared Goff look serviceable. So I don't know. I think with a competent quarterback, probably going to be a lot better.
They might be. However, I don't think that that's necessarily that far off when it's all said and done. Yeah, that's one of those that could have the takes we gave a little bit ago where it's like bold but not really kind of deal. Yeah. Underwhelming take like that could have probably shown up in that simply from the standpoint that when you look at it last year, he was the quarterback six and a couple of spots further back there, drop that down there. But let's not give too much away on the analysis of Russell Wilson. We'll get to him when we get to the quarterback room. But I think it's time that we go ahead and start breaking down some players there. We're going to start, that's right, where we always do, in the running back room. And we've got Chris Carson is the main back there. Chris Carson finished as running back 17 last year. He had 141 rush attempts, 681 yards, 5 rushing touchdowns, 37 receptions on 46 targets for 287 and 4 through the air. What are your thoughts on Chris Carson?
Well, so to end the season last year, Pete Carroll said, we've got to run the football more. We're going to run the football more. Well, things kind of fell apart for the Seahawks there at the end of the year. And Carson obviously was his lack of productivity was part of the problem. But really just the staleness of the offense, you know, in general, was the major problem, which is what led them to getting a new OC to Canning Schottenheimer and moving on. So here, if you heard that postseason press conference where Pete Carroll, who was clearly frustrated because they lost and their season was done, and all you heard was, we're going to run the football more, something new came out where Pete Carroll said, okay, pump the brakes. We're not going to run the football 70 times a game. Like, we're not going to be a 70-30 run to pass offense. You know, like, we just need to incorporate things a little bit more. We need to have an effective run game, and we need to have, I think what the phrasing he used was, we need to have a focused run game. And that phrasing right there, and like it or not, and when it comes to coach speak, that phrasing, that means something. And while Pete Carroll, you know, he's a coach and he's going to have those idioms that coaches have, I think that there's definitely, like, he is definitely telling everybody, we're going to run the ball, but we're going to do it in a way that is effective for the entirety of the offense to move the ball down the field, to get them on the board. I think that's going to do it. So Chris is going to be a major. I know there was some question marks with him coming back. They brought him back. And so I don't see his role changing much at all. I do think there will be some more options.
I see that the internet bug has bit you this week. So while Alex's internet is coming back, there's a lot to be said for the Seahawks and their run game and how that looks and works. And yeah, it's one of those that Sauce Boss gave the take that Chris Carson will not be a top 25 back. I don't know that that's necessarily something that I will subscribe to, simply from the standpoint that when you look at it, he finished as running back number 17 last year. And when it's all said and done, with running back 17, that was with missing several games. Alex, I hear you. Are you back?
Yeah. It doesn't work when there's only two of us and one of us drops out of the internet connection, right? Yeah. So anyways, what I was saying was, and I don't know where you lost me at, but what I was saying was that, you know, there's going to be some more opportunities for pass catching out of the backfield. Chris Carson is, you know, reliable enough, but I think, you know, that we're going to see perhaps another pass catching running back, if you will, that'll maybe take some of Carson's usage, some of the time he spent on the field, and that might eat into that. So I'm a little wary. I still think that Chris Carson is going to be he is high to middle end RB2. So what's it right now, Derek?
I would say your internet's being lots of fun. So you've got the internet bug like we like I had a couple weeks ago and Kevin was having last week. So looks like the old internet bug has bit, jumped up and bit you this week. But
buddy,
I hear you. There you are. You're back.
I don't know what's going on. I guess it's my turn this week. It's my turn to have the internet issues.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago it was me. Last week it was Kevin, and now you're just a lucky person.
Yeah. What is Carson's ADP right now?
Right now, Chris Carson's ADP puts him at the running back 19, 36 pick off the board. So right there at the end of the third.
That's about, I see him finishing a little bit higher than that. Maybe RB 15 to 17 is where I see him finishing. So I guess in that standpoint, it's a value. But I mean, he's not going to blow the barn doors off you.
Right. And so it's interesting too, when you think about it and you think about some of the narratives going on there. And one of the sports me battles that came in at one of the spicy takes for the Seahawks was, Sauceboss saying that Chris Carson would not finish as a top 25 back. Off of what you just said and where I'm at, I don't think that either of us would subscribe to that method, simply from the standpoint that last year, with him missing, was that four games? He still had a running back 17 finish on the year. He's in a very high, high-powered offense that likes to run the ball. A head coach that likes to establish the run and likes to play behind a defense. They will let Russ cook a little bit, but they still love to run the football. You will see that he's very efficient when he gets it, right? Last year, he was at a 4.8 yards per carry type of attempt. So he will be very, very valuable for fantasy. And when you're drafting him at the running back 19, which is where his ADP falls at right now, that's about the return that you're going to get. He may come up off of that a little bit to finish where you're thinking, you know, 14, 15, somewhere in that range. But yeah, for the most part, when you draft him, you know what you're drafting, which is a very nice thing to have. And, you know, for instance, the way I draft, that's a third running back on my roster. And in a lot of folks, that's a second running back, and that's a reliable running back two that you can put on the board there. So there's a lot to be said about Chris Carson and what he can do there. I think that he will be a tremendous value for everyone when it comes to fantasy football this year, and something that a lot of folks are going to, you know, some of the other running backs that you'll take in the third round ahead of him aren't necessarily guys that you're going to be super excited that you passed on Chris Carson when it's all said and done. Alex looks like he's going to hop out and get the internet situated there. And while we're waiting for him to hop back in here, we're going to go ahead and hop on over into Rashad Penny, who is still on the roster. Rashad Penny has had a little bit of a disappointing career so far in the NFL, very injury. I'm sorry, we don't use the term injury prone here, but we will call it health resistant. He has had a little bit of health resistance going on in the when it comes to the NFL and when it comes to football, having several, you know, leg injuries over the last couple of seasons there. But Rashad Penny was a guy that they drafted very, very high. Ah, he's back. Alex, welcome back in.
So, we're going off the phone.
Die soon. Get your charger and your popcorn ready. This is going to be fun. So, finish up with the Chris Carson. We're moving on over to Rashad Penny and basically hit up the point that Rashad Penny has had a health resistant NFL career so far and kind of where we're at. What are your thoughts on Rashad Penny?
Yeah, I think, again, with this offense, with the new offensive coordinator, there's a lot to be seen as to what's going to happen. I think the idea is that backs will be a little bit more involved in the passing game. If Rashad Penny can prove that he's a pass catcher, then that's where I think he makes his hay. I still think Chris Carson is going to get the lion's share of the carries, but it's hard to figure out how they want to use Rashad Penny. It's an OC that's never been an OC before. We don't know. The only thing we have is that he was good in LA, right? So that's what we're going off of with this. And they were able to utilize the running back a little bit, but with Rashad Penny, you know, I guess I would consider him, and this is probably a horrible take, but I would consider him as more of a handcuff. And just to kind of protect myself, because while he has been health resistant, obviously Chris Carson has had his battles with staying on the field as well. So I wouldn't say that it's a slam dunk as Rashad Penny as a handcuff, but I think it's better than nothing.
No, I would agree with that sentiment. I think you're probably spot on there. He's got some value as a handcuff there because if Chris Carson goes down, he's far enough now removed from that that injury that we should see him be worked back in there a little bit as a spell back, change of pace kind of back. I think the Seahawks are also still very interested to see, you know, if he's the guy they drafted in the first round all those years ago. And they really haven't had a chance to see what he's capable of doing just due to some of those, some of that injuries in the past. So I think it'll be very interesting to see how that looks and works. And he's a guy that, you know, right now for where he's being drafted, you can take a dart throw on him because he's at running back 54 overall, 142 overall pick. So that puts him deep into the double digit rounds. And as a guy that, you know, for the most part, you're taking dart throws on it anyway. And if you've already got Chris Carson, you know, it's not a bad idea to handcuff that thing and see what you can do. Plus if they, you know, utilize him a little bit more. So that's not a bad pickup at all. So be interesting to see how this one plays out with him. Let's go ahead and talk about DJ Dallas. The rookie last year coming out into his sophomore season had 34 rush attempts, 108 yards, 2 rushing touchdowns, 17 receptions on 20 targets, 111 yards, and 1 touchdown through the air. Your thoughts on DJ Dallas?
Now, if he emerges to be that pass-catching running back, which, again, we didn't get a good audition out of him. Sure, he played 12 games, but he had 34 rushes. He had 17 catches. If he turns out to be that running back out of the backfield that it is a proven, you know, can prove himself as a pass catcher, well, then that's where his value comes in. Because like I said, everything that I've been reading about how Seattle is going to attack this year, there's going to be more options. I think you probably didn't hear any of this because I dropped out my internet. And I think every time I came to this point is when my internet fell out. But there's going to be more possibilities for the running backs to get more involved in the pass game. And so if DJ Dallas can prove that he's a reliable pass catching running back, I think his offense is going to be geared towards that because they're going to utilize play action. They're going to utilize, you know, those short to intermediate throws. I read a stat where Russell Wilson averaged only like 6 yards for throws in that middle distance, right? Like, you know, throws over the middle was only like 6 yards. Jared Goff last year with the offensive coordinator that's coming over averaged over 10. So that you stretch the field a little bit, you can try to push the linebackers back, and that's going to open up things, I think, for the running game, which is essentially what they'd like to do. But you can't just be a chuck and duck and run the, you know, have to only keep the two safeties on us where you can have linebackers crowd the line of scrimmage. You know, like that doesn't work. And that's a Seahawks in the back half of the season. So if he can prove himself to be that pass catcher, then I think he's got a really, really good upside. The problem is, you know, if he's that pass catcher. And I don't know if he's got that really, really good upside. So that's where I'm at with DJ Dallas. He might be worth probably not even a draft pick, but you know, keep your eye on him and see what's going on in camp and see if that's how they plan on utilizing him. And then he's worth, you know, I mean, he could be so far down there that he's a free agent pickup after week one.
Yeah. I mean, right now he's the running back 102 off the board, 365th overall pick. So in most cases he's going undrafted, and I think that's probably the best place to leave him is just on the waiver wire so you can see what happens. He had one good game last year, and that was in week 8 against San Francisco, where he was the running back number 4 overall on the week. Had just a really, you know, touchdown, you know, it was a lower week for running backs as a whole, and he put a couple of touchdowns in to put himself kind of over the top on that one. So very interesting there, but it took Chris Carson being out and, you know, kind of the other stable of running backs that Seattle likes to use, not really being efficient in that game for him to, you know, see that one game. And there isn't enough of a body of a work for anybody, for myself especially, but I don't think anybody else is really looking to try and add him as a sneaky play or anything like that. This is one of those guys that you let just sit on the waiver wire. You see how they're going to utilize him through the first couple of weeks, and then maybe you take a shot on. But he's worth adding to a watch list just in case, you know, he does develop in that pass catching running back. But you'll see a lot of that come through in the first couple of weeks of the season. So be interesting to see how they use that use him in the role going forward. Well, any desire to talk about any of the other bevy of running backs that they have in the Seattle?
Nah.
All right, let's go ahead and move on over to the wide receiver room, and an interesting wide receiver room it is. They have DK Metcalf, who I think we can now safely say is kind of the number one target there in Seattle. He finishes wide receiver number 7 last year, 83 receptions, 129 targets, 1,303 yards through the air, and 10 touchdowns. What are your thoughts on DK Metcalf?
I mean, this whole Seattle team, right? You know, we were talking about them as, you know, Russ was on pace to set records and all this stuff the first 6 weeks of the season, and then it just fizzled out there. And DK Metcalf was a big reason of that. He was the big reason of the let Russ cook, you know, that whole saying that was going on. And while he did have a disappointing finish to the season, Don't let that, you know, don't let the recency bias of a bad back half of the season ruin your opinion of DK Metcalf. I was not a huge fan of DK Metcalf going into last season, and I know the other two on this show were huge fans of DK Metcalf. Oh, you weren't? Okay, so it's just Kevin.
No.
Kevin was the huge fan of DK.
Yeah,
Metcalf.
This is it. When I get to mine, I get to eat a lot of crow.
And so I mean, that's you and I are in the same boat there, because I wasn't a huge fan of him, and then he showed up and showed out last year and was amazing. They threw the ball at him a ton, and he was able to put up really, really good numbers. So I don't know, I think with the passing game coordinator being the new offensive coordinator there in Seattle, and his name's escaping me, Walden I think is the last name for him, as the new OC, I think you're going to see a little bit more dynamic of a pass game. And if they can do what they want to do with the running game, and by when I say that, I mean, if they can have that focused running attack that's going to keep defenses honest and have to honor, you know, the run and not just key in on DK Metcalf or Tyler Lockett when he's healthy, I think it's just going to open up the field a little bit more, and safeties are going to have to maybe cheat a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage, and that's going to open up the deep ball. We've seen how fast DK Metcalf is. Sure, he wasn't as fast as any of the dudes that he lined up with on the track in that exhibition race or whatever it was that he ran in, but he's still really, really fast for an NFL player of his size. So I think we all have that lasting image of him chasing down and hawking the Arizona Cardinals player.
thought he had a pick six, 100-yard pick six, and DK came back and caught him. That speed is you can't deny that. And it's very, very effective. And his hands are great. And I think what we saw out of him last year is not the exception. I think that'll be the rule for the rest of his career.
Yeah, you are probably right on that one. Now, last year when we were doing our rankings and we're going through, I was low on DK Metcalf. A lot of that had to do with the fact that I thought that Tyler Lockett would still be the number one target for Russell Wilson in 2020, and that DK Metcalf wouldn't necessarily supplant Tyler Lockett, especially when it came into the red zone. And for the most part, the red zone analysis held true to that one, because Tyler Lockett is Russ's favorite target once they get down in the red zone. But so it was one of those that I kind of missed on that one, right? When you miss on one, you got to own it. And so I did not see him having a top 10 wide receiver finish on the year. I don't even think I had him top 20 when it was all said and done, but he did fantastic. And when you look at how do they utilize him, he is a unique athlete because of the fact he's so big, he's so massive, he's got that huge body type of receiver, but he's also got a ton of speed to him. He's a guy that they line up on the outside and Russ can take a shot at him. He one of the few receivers that is that size that has an average yards per reception of over 15 yards. So, you know, most of the time when you're talking about guys that are getting those shots that deep, they're much smaller frame speedster type of guys. And DK Metcalf is really a unique guy from the standpoint he is a massive football player and has the speed to get out there on the outside and just run by people and catch people that, you know, even have a, you know, 10 yard head start on him in a 100-yard dash and just chase him down and tackle him to save a touchdown there. So very interesting there. I'm right now, he's got an ADP of the fifth overall wide receiver, 18th off the board. I don't know that I'm sold on that one just because I don't know that he will outperform his ADP, right? And when you're not able to outperform your ADP, you're not returning value on that draft capital there. So I don't know that I'm in on DK Metcalf this year from an ADP standpoint, just simply from the standpoint, I think you'll see him probably finish roughly around where he was last year, you know, probably 8, 9, you know, top 10 type of receiver, but I don't see him sneaking up into top 5 or better. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see him going top 5 unless the touchdown number goes way up. I mean, obviously the yards are great.
I mean, he had 10 last year. I don't know how you get better than 10.
That's just it. And that's what's going to determine if he can get into the top 5, because the yards are great. I mean, he's getting the ball thrown his way. And he completes a few more of those, you know, he comes down with a few more of those, but a lot of those are low percentage, right? Like those are low percentage throws that are being made. It's the chuck and duck. It's the, you know, put it up there and see if DK can go get it. You know, they make a little bit more of those high percentage. I think, you know, the yards may come down, but if he finds the end zone, I think that's where he sneaks into top 5 territory, but I don't know top 5. I don't think he's top 5. Definitely top 10, but not, I don't know that I've got him top 5.
Right. And where you're talking about there too, I don't know that you're going to see him sneak up past Tyler Lockett when it comes to the 5 zone target. Right. So you'll just look at last year, both of them had the same number of targets on the 15 zone, same number of targets in the 10 zone. But when you get into the 5 zone, Tyler Lockett way outperformed him in targets, right? He had 6 targets in the 5 zone. DK Metcalf had 1 target inside the 10 zone. So when you get down in there to the red zone and into that 5 zone territory where, you know, the throws that you're making, you're looking to score a touchdown if you're throwing inside of 5 yards. DK Metcalf got 1 target, 1 touchdown. Tyler Lockett, 6 targets, 5 touchdowns on those 6 targets. So there's a lot to be said with where Russ looks once he gets in the red zone, and I don't see that necessarily changing.
And I'll say this too, and not having watched all of Seattle's games last year, I think the reason for that is because defenses do pay attention to DK Metcalf down there. So he's going to draw the extra man when it comes to the coverage, especially that deep. You know, you're going to have that linebacker cheating out there, what have you, because he is a tight end. Like, he's got a tight end's body playing wide receivers. So he's going to draw the extra coverage, which will free up Tyler Lockett in those situations. So that I think is a big reason why. Russ didn't even look that way because basically DK was out there as a decoy.
I can see where you're going with that. I don't know that I necessarily will agree with you, just simply from the standpoint that in 2019, Tyler Lockett led all receivers in red zone targets from the wide receiver position. And he was an incredibly well-targeted wide receiver in that red zone as well. So I think a lot of it has to do with the chemistry that Tyler Lockett and Russ have, because a lot of times when you're talking about inside the red zone, Russ has to get in there and do a little bit of that scramble drill. And it's just the fact that he and Tyler Lockett have done it so many seasons together. I think that has a lot to do with how targeted he is when he gets down, when they get down inside that red zone as well.
I'll flip that on you. Guess who else was on the roster in 2019?
Give it to me.
DK Metcalf. I mean, you're right. You're right. Russ and Tyler Lockett have chemistry, right? They've played together for so long. They know where each other want to be when the play breaks down. But on schedule, on time, I'm not sure that, you know, DK would probably be the preferred throw for Russ because it's probably a little bit higher percentage going to that big body. But Tyler Lockett is not going to get the extra guy because teams don't want to get beat by DK Metcalf.
Fair enough. I think on this one, we will, we're both making valid points, but I think we'll just agree to disagree. Let's go ahead and move on over to Tyler Lockett, who I was actually pretty close on last year. On those rankings, I know that I was much higher than both you and Kevin when we were talking Seattle wide receivers. I think I said he was going to finish as the 8th overall wide receiver when it was said and done, and he finished at 9. So I'm going to take that one and take a little victory lap on that one after having to eat the crow on DK the very last segment. But when you look at it, Tyler Lockett finished as wide receiver number 9, 100 receptions, 132 targets, 1,054 yards, and 10 touchdowns. Your thoughts on Tyler Lockett?
I mean, so what we've seen over, let's go back to 2018, really. And that's been, oh man, this is going to be rough. My phone's going to die, so I'm going to get this out quickly, and then I'm going to run and do some other things here. But let's go back to 2018. Tyler Lockett had almost 1,000 yards on just 57 catches, right? 2019, he was up over 100 catches. He was up over 1,000 yards, almost just over like 100 more in 40 more catches, just 100 more yards. And then last year, he was up over 130 catches, as you said, had 100 catches or 130 targets, excuse me, had 100 catches and had 3 fewer yards than the year previous. So I say all that to say this, you could probably bank on Tyler Lockett finishing if he's healthy and plays a whole year, finishing around that 1,000 yard mark, around that 8 to 10 touchdown range. And basically you can build out from there. We're seeing a pattern here with Tyler Lockett. And while I know that it's another new offensive coordinator calling the plays there in Seattle, what we're seeing is what Tyler Lockett is: reliable, dependable, and has great chemistry, like you said, Derek, with Russell Wilson. And so you know that when the play breaks down, Russ at least knows that he's got a safety valve out there with Tyler Lockett. So what's his ADP right now?
Right now he has the wide receiver 24 off the board, overall 58.
Too low, in my opinion. He will outperform that.
Yeah, I think I would agree with you that he will outperform that ADP simply from the standpoint that, you know, where Seattle tends to, or where Russ tends to look at when they get inside that red zone is at Tyler Lockett, to the point where, you know, he will have multiple touchdowns, you know, in that 8 to 10 range. Absolutely. And I think you'll see him easily be well with inside the wide receiver 24 when it's all said and done. Now, Derek over there on Sports Me said that that was his spicy take, was that Tyler Lockett's ADP was too low, and I would absolutely agree with that one. When you look at it, missed time last year, which put him at that, but his consistency ranking, which does not factor in that, does not factor in those injury missed games. He was not at all consistent. And that was one of the, the banes of fantasy players last year, was how inconsistent the performances came when you were talking on Tyler Lockett's side of things. Yeah. He'd have 1 week where he finishes the wide receiver number one, followed it up with the wide receiver 71 on the week. You know, have another week where he finishes wide receiver one, followed that up with wide receiver 58 on the week. So when it's all said and done, he was a boom bust type of player. And a lot of it had to do with how many touchdowns he was scoring, and the games that he had touchdowns, he was very good on for you. And the games that he didn't have touchdowns on, he was not very good for you. So there's a lot to be said with how you need to look at him. Now, Tyler Lockett's not a guy that I'm necessarily super excited to go out and put on any of my rosters when you're talking redraft, when you're talking dynasty. In fact, if you have him on dynasty, he's a tough guy to try and trade away. Because folks don't necessarily like the fact that he's been so boom bust the last couple of years. But where I absolutely love Tyler Lockett is a best ball format. When you're talking a best ball type of player, Tyler Lockett is a guy that is a fantastic pickup for best ball. And he's a guy that you can typically get a little bit later in some of the best ball drafts as well, where he will put up absolutely week winning performances from the wide receiver position. But on those weeks where he disappears, you don't have to worry about the fact that he was in your starting lineup and he gave you, 5 points on the week. He didn't give you the week winning type of performances that you can get from him. So that's kind of where I see him. I think that, yes, the ADP is a little low, but you need to also temper that expectation for Tyler Lockett based on the fact that he's going to have week winning weeks for you, but he's also going to put up week losing type of weeks for you too. And hopefully that you didn't start him in one of those duds that he'll put up. Alrighty. Alex looks like he's still trying to get his internet rocking and rolling there. I can hear you. I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yes, I can hear you, Alex.
All right. We've switched to wireless headphones. I made reference to the first time that we did this. I did this on my phone.
Yep.
The very first episode was on my phone. Actually, the first couple of weeks was on my phone before I switched over to my ancient laptop that's still kicking, but apparently can't quite reach the internet. So we're back to doing that, although I have upgraded to some wireless headphones. I don't know if the sound quality is any better, but we'll try to make this up.
We can hear you. You sound all right. Let's go ahead and talk about the rookie that they've got over there, Dwayne Eskridge, coming in. Say what?
I said just all right. Sound fantastic.
Okay. Let's go ahead and talk about Dwayne Eskridge. Coming over, who the Seattle drafted in the second round this year. What are your thoughts on Dwayne Eskridge?
Again, if they can get this passing game going, I need to see more out of Seattle, right? I need to get more information out of Seattle. So I don't know. I'm not going to pass judgment on the kid because I don't know enough about him other than he's a little on the smaller side. So we'll see how he slots in there. Key phrasing there. And we'll see how they end up utilizing him. But kid's a flyer. He's a little on the smaller side. And he's got decent weight, but at 5'9", that's that's a small target. So we'll just see how they plan on utilizing him. I'm not sure where he ends up finishing. I know that he's going to be set up better than rookies were last year because the benefit of having a complete off season with all those workouts. So it's too soon for me to know too much about Eskridge, but I think if you're looking at trying to get a piece of this offense, probably going to be your most piece to get the latest.
Yeah, I think you're probably right there. And Seattle is definitely one of those teams that they provide a lot of intrigue. So, you know, getting a piece of the offense would be nice on this one. So Dwayne Eskridge was really with where they drafted him. They drafted him to be that, to bring in that number three type of wide receiver for this team, and really kind of, you know, with his makeup and where he's at, kind of be that slot guy. And, you know, like Kevin likes to say, be that water bug across the middle there. But he's a guy that was very explosive in college and had a lot of big play type of capability there. So it'll be a fun one to watch, I think, when it's all said and done with how Seattle's going to bring this thing to pass and how you're going to ultimately see them try and work him in. I'm glad that they do have some of the mini camps, the OTAs, the, you know, all of those kind of things to bring some of these rookies along, which I think you'll see these guys, you know, come along a little bit faster this year than what we saw last year, even though there was a ton of rookies come out last year that really made an impact and made a splash when it was all said and done in their rookie year. But you had to typically wait on that a couple of weeks in. I think we'll see these guys explode a little bit faster there. And with the fact that you see, both DK Metcalf on the field and Tyler Lockett on the field, that'll help open things up for him. So he could very easily be a fun kind of pick in the later rounds there. And if you're looking to get a rookie, you're looking to get a guy with some upside and a flyer, like that's not a bad guy to look at there. Any desire to talk about any of the other wide receivers that Seattle has on the roster? All right. I can't tell if Alex is there or not. His picture is a little frozen there. Sorry about that, folks. We're experiencing some technical difficulties tonight. But
delayed that bad?
Yeah, your picture's not moving at all.
It looks like the high end. What a joke. One of those weeks.
All righty. Well,
bear with this. We'll get through this together.
Yep. We're plugging and chugging, getting the viewers everything they need to win some cash and trophies for sure. So any desire to talk about any of those other wide receivers? All right, let's go ahead and talk about Gerald Everett, who,
no.
Wow, you are super delayed. Alrighty, let's go ahead and talk about Gerald Everett. Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about Gerald Everett, who last year was on the LA Rams. He finished as a tight end 24 last year, 41 receptions on 62 targets, 417-1 through the air. Your thoughts on Gerald Everett?
I like Gerald Everett this year simply because he's going to have a working knowledge of the offense. LA Rams, that's where, you know, people are in eating. That's why I like Gerald Everett. Now, I don't know that he usurps Will Disley in terms of the tight end of choice there in Seattle, but I think he's a good locker room piece, experience and knowledge of what this offense is going to look like. So tight end too, sure. But if you're in a tight end, you know, that two tight end league, yeah, definitely grab him and put him on your roster. But I don't see him being anything more than just a good locker room piece and a good knowledgeable piece for this team.
Gotcha. This is one that you and I will have, we'll be looking at each other from different sides of the fence on this one, because I see Gerald Everett as being good this year. So, when you look at it, Gerald Everett was drafted to be a very dynamic tight end in the league. One of Sean McVay's first picks when he became the coach out there with the Rams. So he was drafted with high draft capital out there. He is super athletic, has the profile of what you look for very talented, super athletic tight ends. Now, you've brought up several times when you talk about the passing coordinator and from the Rams coming over and becoming the offensive coordinator for Seattle this year. I don't think that it was by happenstance that Gerald Everett ended up with Seattle. I think that, yeah, that was one of those that when they're talking about putting guys on the roster, things like that, the offensive coordinator is going out there, say, you know, pounding the table for his guy right here and bringing him over. Now, Will Dissly was a guy that was also drafted to be good, but since he had that Achilles injury a couple seasons ago, he has yet to return to form on that one. And Gerald Everett, I think we will see him supplant Will Dissly sooner than later, if not even before the season happens. And I'm actually probably going to agree with Peng's pick over there in SportsMe when his spicy take said that Gerald Everett would be a top 12 tight end. I could absolutely see that one happen. And Gerald Everett is a guy that I am targeting late in drafts, because when you look at it, he is the tight end 22 when you're talking ADP, overall 204. So in most cases, he is going undrafted in a lot of cases. And sign me up for that one, because that's where I like to draft tight ends. And that's what I like to look for. Guys going late that have a narrative, like I just described, that can finish high, have the ability to do so, and I can get them in a 12th, 13th, 14th round for my tight end to move on and not spend much on what is typically a touchdown dependent type of position anyway. Well, let's go ahead and talk about.
I hear you, and I wish. Am I that far off? Can you hear me now?
No, you're good. You're saying that you hear me and you respect what I'm going to say, but now you're going to disagree.
Because Gerald Everett has 80 some odd games under his belt, and he's got 8 career touchdowns, receiving touchdowns. Will Dissly has 26 career games under his belt, and he has 8 receiving touchdowns. Who, I will put this to you, who do you think has touchdowns in a position here that is going to be touchdown?
So the question is, who do I think will have more touchdowns between Will Dissly and Gerald Everett this season? I'm going to take Gerald Everett, because I think he'll be on the field a lot more. If we're talking snap percentages, I see Gerald Everett probably seeing the field at least 70% of snaps from that position, and Will Dissly will not be up there. So I'm going to take the guy with more opportunity to see that done.
And we will agree to disagree.
All righty. Well, let's go ahead and talk about your favorite tight end in this tight end room. We'll go ahead and move on over to Will Dissly, who finished as the tight end of 42 last year, 24 receptions, 29 targets, 251 and 2 through the air. Your thoughts on Will Dissly?
Again, I'd like to see, I think we finally got to see him perform for year, played 4 games, got hurt, Aaron played 16 last year. While it wasn't impossible, and if he could bring up the touchdowns, he'd be catching a lot. That's 200% more touchdowns than he had last year. You're asking a lot to bring that up. But even if he brings that number up, then he's going to be a guy that's firmly in tight end one territory. So he needs a few more yards. He needs to see the ball thrown his way a little bit more. And I think another year with Russ, I think with the way that they bring this offense together, I'm not saying, you know, sell the farm to get Will Dissly, but I think he's the better of the two options.
So I like your narrative that you put together there. I am going to stick by my narrative I already gave, where I think Gerald Everett will be the tight end that you'll want in this room. And we'll just wave at each other from our opposite sides of the fence there. Passing any other ships. Thought? Yes, passing ships. We'll wave at each other, and you know what? Come February, January, it'll be fun to see who was right on this one. So that is the beautiful thing. We'll
need to put it in this one. Make sure that we
absolutely. Sure we'll put we, it on the
figure this out.
Don't worry. I think when Gerald Everett supplants him in week one, I'll start letting you know then. Alrighty, let's go ahead and move on over to the quarterback room. And it's not really a quarterback room. It's Russell Wilson. Let Russ cook was the chant going into last season. And at the beginning of the year, they certainly did that and faded towards the back half there. He still finished as the quarterback 6, 384 completions on 558 attempts, 4,212 yards, 40 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. He ran 83 times for an additional 513 and 2 on the ground. Your thoughts on Russell Wilson?
Oh, I'm still here.
Hey, you're moving now.
Oh, did you ask me about him?
Yeah. What are your thoughts on Russell Wilson?
Oh, okay. Here we go. I think Russell's going to be in that top five conversation. And I tell you this, I think with everything that is going against him, the disgruntled narrative throughout this offseason, the how many offensive coordinators he's had now, I think that Russ will respond. And I still think that he finishes right around the top five. I can't decide if I want to put him in the top five just yet, because there are guys who will run the football very effectively that will get fantasy points that way. And he was sacked a lot last year. He's been sacked a lot over the last, well, his career. Yeah. He's been sacked a lot. So if they can figure out some things on that offensive line to make sure that he stays a little bit cleaner. And if they can work some ways where this offense, from what I've been reading, they're going to incorporate jet sweep a lot more. They're going to incorporate the running back passing game. They're going to incorporate some of those a little bit longer middle of the field throws. I think if you incorporate all that, it just leads to people aren't allowed to tee off and get to Russ. So I see Russ finishing right around top five range. And I think his ADP right now is way below that. So I still think that Russ can cook.
His ADP right now has him as the quarterback 6 off the board, 58th overall. So his really? ADP is kind of right. Yeah. His ADP is right in line with what you're talking about. I don't know that I'm, gonna buy into the fact that Russ Wilson will be a top five quarterback. I will put him outside of that. I'm still working through some of my projections and rankings, and yeah, I can tell you right now he will be outside of that top five. I don't know that I necessarily will subscribe to, what Justin from Clock Management, the Sports Me ambassador was saying over there on Sports Me earlier today, where he won't be a top eight. I have a hard time putting Russell Wilson outside of the top eight because of his rushing floor that he will provide. Yeah, there's not many quarterbacks out there that are going to run the ball 80 plus times a season for over 500 yards And that alone is going to put him kind of in that eight or better type of mix just from how that looks and works. Not to mention the fact that he will go out there and throw the ball for, you know, easily 4,000 yards this year. The thing that may come down a little bit is the touchdowns there, but you know, you can still generally chalk up Russell Wilson for 35 plus touchdowns. So I think when it's all said and done, I think he'll be in about that quarterback 6 to 8 range for me, which is not a huge vote of confidence for myself when I'm looking at the quarterbacks that I want to put on my roster, simply because of the fact that when you're talking where he's being drafted, that's a fifth round type of pick. And if I'm going with a fifth round quarterback, I want more upside than that. And what I mean by that is I want a guy that is going to be finishing as, you know, QB1, QB2, QB3 on the year type of thing. And I don't necessarily see that happening when you're talking Russell Wilson this year. To give it for instance, Kyler Murray is being taken about 10 picks ahead of him. Josh Allen is being taken. That's getting up there at about 20 picks. So there's a big difference in some of those things there, but all said and done, I think Russell finish about where you're going to draft him. And at that point, there's not enough of a positional value when you're talking that. So from the standpoint that I can take a guy like a Ryan Tannehill much later on in the draft and get probably similar output there, because Ryan Tannehill is going as the 97th overall pick versus the 58th. So, you know, four rounds later, I can get a guy that's going to probably finish really close to where you're going to see Russell Wilson finish as well. And I didn't have to spend near the draft capital. So in that case, I'm going to be out on Russell Wilson when it comes to the fantasy side of it, as far as drafting and putting him on my roster. But I think he will still have a very productive season. I think you'll be able to easily chalk him up for 4,000 plus and about 35 plus touchdowns. So I don't see any reason why he won't be good for fantasy. I just don't see him being great to the point where I'm going to put him on my roster with that kind of ADP. Any other thoughts on Russell Wilson or the Seahawks in general?
We fought our way through this. Let's just finish the show strong here.
All right. Well, Alex, I've got a very quick question for you then. We're going to talk real quick about our top three formats to play. And that's what I want to know is, what are your top three formats or leagues to play in when it comes to fantasy football?
All right. So obviously, I think, the way that we've been doing the home league, that was really my first real introduction to fantasy football, was the two keeper. You know, there was no draft penalty. It was kind of like a mix between a dynasty and a redraft league that we have going on. And I think it's fun. It's obviously, you know, our home league and everything. So I've grown to like it over the almost decade and a half that I've been playing in it. So obviously that league is a ton of fun. I've gotten into obviously some other weirder leagues. I think any league, I like auction drafts. I think there's a lot of strategy involved in auction drafts. I think any league that's got an auction draft, you really, really get to see not just where people value, but how much they value a certain player. And I like the idea that everybody's got the exact same chance to get guys, you know, right away. And there's also some strategy involved when it comes to putting up guys, you know, to putting up guys that maybe you don't want. You put them up on the auction block to try and weed it out and get other players later. So I'm a big fan of auction drafts, redraft leagues that are like that. And then I'm going to do a twofer here. The guillotine league that we played in last year was a ton of fun. Very interesting, very difficult, because I couldn't quite understand the platform that we were using. So it was a little difficult, but the concept behind it is great. In that, after X amount of weeks, a team gets chopped and those players become available for everybody to then pick up and put on their team. And I think that's a lot of fun. It puts a lot of value on the draft, at least initially, and then it puts a lot of value on your ability to pay attention after the guillotine falls every week, starting at a certain week. And then I played in a league last year that kind of a weird concept between me and a couple buddies. We called it the Anything But the Best League. And then we started referring to it as the Mario Kart League, because when you're playing Mario Kart, you get way out in front, you get blue shelled, right? And then it kind of evens the playing field. Well, the concept behind this league was each week, the highest scoring player at each position would be eliminated from the available player pool. So what you wanted was the second highest scoring player from each position group so that you could maintain the guys on your roster. That was a lot of fun. And there was a ton of, you had to keep up with that league. And it was all on the commissioner to make sure ineligible players weren't used. And if they were used, there was a penalty associated to it that wouldn't exactly result in a loss, but it didn't help. And so that was those leagues that are a little quirky involved. And I think if you can try to outsmart your opponents, I think that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. For me, my favorite is going to be the home league and that keeper concept with the crazy scoring format that we have, where yeah, it's not uncommon to see games end 430 to 410 type of scoring for that thing, which, yeah, we say it all the time on the show. Points are fun. You root for points.
It's fun.
And, and that is one of the best things about that one is that, you know, I don't know in all the years that we've done that one that there's ever been a player that's given somebody a goose egg, which is phenomenal. So yeah, that's one of my, the banes of my existence when I'm playing any sort of fantasy and I look at it and a guy is out there and playing and, you know, has been involved in the game, but has, you know, puts up a goose egg for me. I'm not a fan there, but we found a way to mitigate that in the home league there. So that one is always the first and foremost, my favorite, so much so to the point where we started a podcast because of it. So my second one is going to be kind of along the same lines you were talking about, is going to be a redraft style, but it's going to be a redraft style with a crazy twist on it, right? Like the guillotine league that we played in last year. And we're going to do that one again with a bigger twist on it. More details to come on that one. If y'all are out there and have any desire to play in a guillotine league, hit us up with a DM over there on Twitter, Good Old Boys FF. Let us know. We'll try and save you a spot, first come, first serve. But also some other, you know, fun little twists that we've been playing in, like a vampire league, a pirate league, some of those types of things that just, it's fantasy, but it's fantasy with a twist and even more strategy involved with it. And then, of course, Dynasty is always a lot of fun. And I love the fact with Dynasty, you're talking long-term strategy and then being able to implement. And you can see, you know, not just how good you are at maintaining a roster for a year, but how good are you at actually managing a roster towards the future as well. So that's kind of my favorite three there. But Alex, I do believe that that's going to take us down to the end of it. Any final thoughts for the listeners?
Hey, we got a question. We got a question there. Do you want to address the question in the comments?
Yes. Question just coming in from Sean Blake. Better fantasy option, Devonta Smith or Jalen Waddle? What are your thoughts here? I'll let you go first.
Oh, you would. I have to look up some stuff real quick because I'm not exactly sure. I have to make sure that I'm not talking crazy here.
All right. Well, while you go, I will go. So while you're looking that up, okay. I'll go. So for me, when I'm looking at these guys, both of these guys provide a ton of upside, a ton of value, and a very high ceiling. Looking at it, though, personally, if I'm on the clock in a dynasty draft, right? Which I like using that format to kind of answer your question. And yes, it's PPR if that's more specific. Okay. So Sean, I'm going to answer you this way and let me know if this answer hits your mark or if you want me to go a little bit deeper. But for me, I am going to be looking at, you know, how I would draft these guys in a rookie draft coming up, right? So if I'm sitting there in a dynasty league and I'm drafting rookies, so take all the other noise out of the equation, and I'm staring down there at a pick in what has been a, you know, mid to late first round, and I've got Devonta Smith or Jalen Waddle, I'm not skipping a beat. I'm going with Devonta Smith on those ones. And there's a few reasons why. Devonta Smith, I think, will be the number one target when it's all said and done out there in Philadelphia. Jalen Hurts, I'm a big fan of Jalen Hurts, watched him all the way back in Oklahoma and, you know, that Alabama school that he came to. As Alex liked to say, he's Oklahoma via the way of Alabama there. But when I'm looking at it, he has the ability to separate and run very crisp, clean routes and has great hands. Jalen Waddle has a lot of dynamic playmaking ability, you know, the ability to stretch the field, the ability to burn by some people and get out there. But both of those things being said, I think Devonta Smith, when it's all said and done, will be the number one read and the number one target for Jalen Hurts when he's dropping back there. And Jalen Waddle is going to be the second to third read on that team and potentially even the fourth read, depending upon how that's all said and done. So long-term wise, I like Devonta Smith because I think he'll add a little bit more weight onto him. I know that's one of the big concerns is that he's underweight coming into the league. But, you know, as he starts maturing a little bit, and like everybody, when your metabolism slows down just a touch, you're able to start putting on some weight there. So I don't think that'll be a problem. I do like the fact that he's got a what I think is a more developed route tree. I think he's got phenomenal hands. He's got the ability to separate. I'm not saying that Jalen Waddle doesn't have all of those things, but I think that Devonta Smith is a better bet when it's comes to that. And I like the fact that Jalen or Devonta Smith isn't going to get buried behind guys like Will Fuller, who they just paid to come in and be a free paid as a free agent. Isn't going to have to try and overtake Devontae Parker, who's already been there and has learned the system and the coaching staff and all of that stuff. Same thing with Mike Gesicki, who is also there and knows the coaching staff, knows the playbook, knows how that's going to come to play. So for me, it's Devonta Smith.
All right, Sean, I know you were maybe hoping for a consensus here, but I don't think you're going to get it out of us. I will be the contrarian, actually, and say that I kind of like Jalen Waddle more. And really what this comes down to, and this is not a great, I think what the question that you need to ask yourself, Sean, when you're picking between these two guys is, which quarterback do you like more? Do you like Tua more?
I like Jalen Hurts.
Do you like Jalen Hurts more? Right. I think Jalen Waddle, because and I think that the argument that I'm about to make for Jalen Waddle actually, or the argument I'm about to make against Devonta Smith is also an argument that you can make against Jalen Waddle. I think it's a crowded wide receiver room. I think it's more unproven over there in Philly, but I think it's still a crowded wide receiver room over there. And I think the options are going to be, it's going to be tough. But I think the reason why I like Jalen Waddle just a bit more is because there is a Devontae Parker and Will Fuller for five games that I think will take attention away from him. And I think that's going to open up the field a little bit more for a Jalen Waddle. So, Sean, I don't know. I think you're probably better following Derek's lead on this than mine, but I did beat him in the playoffs last year. So do with that what you will.
Yep. Yep. You are always my kryptonite in round one of the playoffs. The difference is that usually I'm the one seed and you're the eight seed. So, you happen to catch me on my one bad week. Although that may change now that we've got to change that playoff structure around and now I don't have to
play an extra week now. Yeah,
exactly. So, Sean, I like I said, I don't know that, yeah, you didn't get the consensus answer that I think are what you were wanting or hoping for, but you definitely saw some of the reasonings behind that and kind of why we would take who we would take there. Yeah, I would be interested to get Kevin's take on this one as well because I think it would be interesting to see how he would break the tie between us. Yes, he would certainly have thoughts. So maybe that's one of those that we put a pin in that one and ask him next Tuesday when we go live. We do this show every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. And for those of us in the mountain, which nobody ever mentions, 9 p.m.
9 p.m. Mountain, yeah.
Yep. And the West Coast, which also doesn't get that, is 8 p.m. Central. So Sean says, I can agree to that as well, having Parker and even Fuller on the outside might open up the field a bit for Waddle.
Sean, we've done you a disservice here. So we have not answered your question. We only made it more confusing.
Well, it all depends on what narrative you go by, right? Like, one of our good friends in the industry, it's all about what narrative street you live on is a saying that Chris Pinto likes to use there. So I've come to grow to that one. He says he's a huge Eagles fan, but I'm not as biased as others. LOL. So, you've got some good
things.
Tell you
what, Sean, we'll talk about this next week.
Yep. We will do that. And, we'll get Kevin's take on that as well and break the tie for you as far as that goes, so that maybe you'll get at least at that point, you'll have a consensus between the group as to which way we would go. So you make sure that you do us a favor. Everybody out there, hit the subscribe button, go on the YouTube, hit that subscribe button, hit that bell. Don't miss a single episode. We're going to be ramping things up, as the season starts coming with lots more content hitting that YouTube channel. We've been working hard behind the scenes, cutting up a lot of player profile videos, all of that kind of stuff. Alex, any final thoughts for the listeners?
My apologies for the technical difficulties tonight. Appreciate you sticking with us. We'll try to be better next week.
Absolutely. As always, next week. And Sean, we look forward to talking with you as well. We'll see you next Tuesday night. Guys, we appreciate y'all hanging on with us. If you haven't done so already, hit us up on the socials, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Twitch at Good Old Boys FF, the YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button. Ring the bell. Do not miss a single episode. But I think that's going to do it for us. Thanks for tuning in. For Alex, I'm Derek. Kevin will be back next week. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Good Old Boys Fantasy Football Podcast. Have a good one. Be safe.